Vernomatic Productions.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Vernomatic here. Hope everyone's doing well in the spring of 2024. Tonight's show, we welcome comedian and heavy metal junkie Don Jameson onto the show. He's here to promote his brand new stand-up comedy album, No Sleep to McSorley's. Talks about how he incorporated the Motorhead No Sleep to Hammersmith theme into both the front and back cover of this album. Talks about how Phil Campbell from Motorhead contributed to this effort. Why he picked that classic New York City drinking establishment, McSorley's, to record the album. He also touches on some of the comedic topics on the album, including COVID era experiences, PC names, and what if hard rock and heavy metal music had to go the PC route. Makes you stop and think. In addition, we talk about grown men sleeping in pink princess beds. That's a good story. And the highlights of the heavy metal Monsters of Rock cruise that he was on this past spring. Want to remind you, get up to our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Sign up for the newsletter that gets you alerts on everything we're doing. Thursday night podcasts. Friday night, we have the YouTube free-for-all interview show. Monday nights, I do a live radio show. And then there's other content dropping every day. So again, that's metalmayhemroc.com. All right, let's get into this. Don Jameson, Metal Walt, and myself, the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Ah, look, you're back in detention.
Got it.
But this time, you won't be throwing pencils up into the ceiling tiles the entire time.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horn.
Your proctors expect you to be on your worst behavior as they give you remedial instruction in the history of hard rock and metal.
You're going to school?
Hey, settle down. Here's Vernomatic and Metal Walt with your rock and roll detention.
A proud member of the Pantheon podcast team.
All right, well, here we go. Another rock and roll detention. This one's like a day off because we got our friend returning to the show, Don Jameson. Brand new CD coming out the 18th, I believe. No Sleep to McSorley's. Don, welcome back to Metal Mayhem. How are you, man?
I'm good. It comes out the 19th, but you were very close. And, you know, you said off camera that we were that you had listened to it three times. So I'm guessing you were trying to figure out why people were laughing.
No, the editing took care of that. But quickly, we're going to go through a lot of this. The one thing I took away from this, we're about the same age. It made me feel my age because I'm sitting there driving around. I'm like, well, he's fucking right. You know, this is how it is now. Really tongue in cheek. But it's true, man. It's like 2024. What the hell?
Don, I saw you down at, we talked at KK's Priest, which was only 2 weeks ago or so. Bro, since then, I got fired from my job. We had two fucking earthquakes in New York City and a solar eclipse. Like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
Something I said?
It could be from KK's Priest playing here in Jersey, man. That show was completely off the charts. Ellie Guns, KK's Priest, Burning Witches. I mean, that could have been an aftershock from that show, I'm sure.
I saw the show in Buffalo and I nice like 4,000 or 5,000 cap room. There weren't even seats. You just stand nice elevated. And I just had the best time.
You know, the cool thing is like, you know, a lot of people said Ellie Guns, well, that's a weird fit. But like to me, it's like that makes perfect sense because you have the, you know, the Burning Witches come out in their power metal. KK's Priest is power metal. So you just put this real solid heavy rock band in the middle. It changes it up a little bit. And then, you know, you're ready for KK to come out. So I love that lineup. And, you know, they were all great. You know, Ellie Guns was killer. They were perfect in that slot. It was a great night.
It was. The Starland was packed, man. I found when they were, like, sweeping the floors after, like, somebody just left a pick on the floor. So I got one of KK's picks.
Oh, nice.
Which is kind of cool. I went out of job now. I could put it up on eBay, maybe get, like, $6 or something for it, you know? But Don, you were, I was sharing with Verno, you told me this amazing story that back in the day when you used to go out to Akron, Ohio, when you used to visit Ripper when you were on tour, you used to stay in his daughter's bed. Tell a story again, because I think it's fantastic.
Well, before, you know, it's funny because I'm going to be out there this weekend, so I'll see Tim. I know he's home. So, but before I was playing the comedy clubs out there, I was just putting together my own DIY little tours of Northeast Ohio where I'd play You know, I'd play a rock club on a Thursday. I'd play someone's backyard on a Friday. And, you know, Ripper's place, you know, when he used to have the rock house, I used to play that on the Saturday. And I stayed with him at his house the whole time. And, you know, he's an Akron boy, you know, born and bred, still lives there, you know, family guy with kids. And, you know, his daughter was, you know, whatever, 6 or 7 at the time. And, you know, she had the pink sheets and, you know, the princess netting around the bed and the princess pillow, the pink princess pillow. And he snuck in one night and took a photo of me, like, you know, snuggling with the princess pillow. And and now his daughter, she came to the show in New Jersey. Now she's 19. And it's like, wow, you know, it's like I remember, you know, sleeping in the princess room when you were just a kid, and she's all grown up now. So that's how long I've known Ripper for. But good times back then, man.
Well, I could relate to that. 3 or 4 times a year, I'll go down to Jersey, stay with Walt. We'll go to shows, this and that. And the first couple of times I went down there, he would extend hospitality, and I would stay in his 8-year-old daughter's room, and I'd be sleeping in a Hello Kitty bed. Yeah, and, right. You know, you appreciate the invite, but I said, you know what? I'm a big guy. I can get a room and whatnot. So, but you talk about Ohio. You're going to be in Ohio this week, this Friday and Saturday. Where are you going to be?
Yeah, I don't know when you guys are airing this, but or posting it. But the what is it? The 12th and the 13th. Yeah, at the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls, which is right next to Akron, Ohio, and it's one of my favorite clubs. I recorded a live album there years ago. So you know, anxious to go back. Ripper always comes out to the shows. He brought his daughter the last time again, such a surreal moment that is now his, you know, daughter who I still, you know, you always see kids as kids, right? Even though she's a grown up now, but for her to hear my filthy mouth for the first time, it was almost a little awkward, but, it's, you know, Cleveland, that whole area of Northeast Ohio, man, the fans up there are killer.
Yeah, no, we'll be, this will be debuting Thursday night.
Oh, great.
This coming Thursday.
Yeah.
So it'll be relative. So if you're out there listening, it's Thursday night. Get some tickets if you're in the Ohio area.
Funnystop.com.
What is it?
Funnystop.com.
Okay. Funnystop.com. And we'll have all this in the show notes. Any chance of your routing, making up to Rochester?
Yes. Well, someone checked my avails for sometime in July for up that way. So, I'm waiting to hear back. So it sounds like I got something pending up in that area. It's a promoter I work with up there. So I'm looking forward. The last time I was up there was, I guess, probably about 6 months ago. I was up there doing some shows with Jack Russell's Great White. We played up that way, did a couple shows. So, yeah, I'll be back soon.
And it's tough. I saw some video clips earlier today up on Metal Sludge, and the live shows, it's looking a little... looking a little sad. Do you see some of that
with Jack?
Yeah,
you know, it's look, he's had a tough run, man, obviously, you know, but he sounds good still, you know, so that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, once people sort of get over, I think, the initial sort of shock of like, he's kind of frail and all that, and he starts singing, and of course, you know, all those songs, I mean, you know, great.
Yeah.
So many songs that you know and sing along to. I think once they get over that, and also his band is terrific, once they get past that, then they kind of get in the groove of it. But yeah, it's a little jarring at first, man. You know, it's terrible. You know, you always want to see your idols as they were, but they...
Yeah.
Oh, there's only, you know, there's guys like Glenn Hughes, you know, like there's very few people who still pull it off. Like Glenn grew the 70s hair back. He's still in his 70s, but sounds like he's still singing in the 70s because his voice is still incredible. But not everybody's like that. Sometimes you go and you're like, all right, yeah, the guy from Loverboy has not missed too many meals.
Yeah, and all due respect to Jack, I'm not cutting in on him. It's just from a personal standpoint. I'm like, geez, I guess, you know, Deano sort of laid the groundwork for wheelchair singing, if you will, and... But that being said, let's talk about the album. Why McSorley's? I know in the show you joke that, hey, we got a bunch of our own that drink and not too PC. But serious note, why McSorley's?
Yeah, well, that, I mean, it, because McSorley's to me is a place I've been going to forever. And, you know, it's a place where you go with your pals and you sit and you drink McSorley's ale and you solve all the world's problems in an afternoon and then you go home. And, you know, that, you know, as you sort of alluded to, like a lot of material on this album is me trying to figure out what the hell's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's the place to do it, you know, in front of a bunch of beer drinkers and Hellraisers. And you know, again, place I've gone to forever, and they were cool enough to let me do it there. They'd never even done a show in there before. So, you know, when I asked them how much to rent the place out for the night, they were like, how long have you been coming here? I said, 30 years. They're like, you paid enough.
Wow.
Cool.
Wow. Well, hey, Don, I'm just curious, like, going back to the album, like, what made you do the whole Motorhead theme, you know, No Sleep Till Hammersmith? You did a great Lemmy impression in the beginning, and it says, like, you had Phil Campbell play a little bit on the intro, and was that him on the back end of the album, too?
Yeah, this is how I knew it was meant to be and how I knew it would be Motorhead, because all my albums are parodies of my favorite bands, right? Yeah. I've done Saxon, I've done Judas Priest, I've done Thin Lizzy. And so, you know, sitting in McSorley's one day, day drinking with my friends, solving the world's problems, thinking about where could I record this album, the longer we sat there, the more I was like, this is the place, you know? And I knew we wanted to do Motorhead, so it was natural, No Sleep Till McSorley's. I got the owner on the phone. We had that conversation that I just told you about. Then I emailed Motorhead's manager, Todd Singerman, who's a good friend and a phenomenal guy, and asked him, hey, I'm going to do this No Sleep Till McSorley's. Could I use the Motorhead font for my name? And he emailed me back 10 minutes later, anything you want. So you have a couple more beers and you go, anything you want? Okay. can I use the original artwork from No Sleep Till Hammersmith? 10 minutes later, whatever you need, man, I'll get you the artwork. So that came together. I renegotiated my deal with Metal Blade. I emailed the head of Metal Blade and asked if they were interested in continuing on with me. And they said, absolutely. So we got that done. And then the last piece of the puzzle was texting Phil Campbell. Hey, man, could you do the intro and outro for me? And yes, that is actually Phil Campbell from Motorhead. And he was gracious enough to say, yeah, I'd love to do it, man. So it was meant to be this way, man. And in 1 hour of day drinking, I got all that stuff done.
That's awesome. When was that recorded?
So I recorded it in September 2023. And so it comes out here, you know, in a couple of weeks. And, you know, look, I always say this. I know the people who watch you guys and listen to you guys. They get that it's, you know, they get it that it's the classic Motorhead. And they even gave me the back cover, too, as you could see. But if you get that, that's good. But what's on the inside, I want it to be for everybody. You don't have to be into hard rock and metal to get the comedy or whatever I do inside. The content should appeal, I hope, to everybody. But, you know, because it's something near and dear to my heart, and I do talk about music on the album, obviously, I love paying tribute to my favorite bands. And I'm ashamed it took 5 albums to get to Motorhead, but as you get, you know, it all came together organically, as they say.
You could start a new band. It could be Phil Campbell and his bastard sons and Don Jamieson.
Yeah, I toured with them in England, and that's how I first mentioned it to Phil, and he kind of said yes then. But you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, I don't hold anybody to anything. But yeah, Phil, you know, Phil's become a friend, and his band with his kids is really, really great, and his kids are awesome. So I'm glad to see Phil doing so well. Obviously, you know, we lost Lemmy in 2015, but obviously that music lives on.
That's just like, that's a band I want to see come to the States. Like, I know maybe they played on one of these cruises you've been on or whatever, but like, they got to come to the States at some point. We got to see that here.
Yeah, if somebody, you know, if a bigger band can, you know, bring them for support and they could actually make some money, but the touring is just so tough. I mean, you know, his son, Tyler, showed me, the merch breakdown, especially over in the UK. They have a thing called a VAT tax. So on top of paying your merch person, giving a cut to the venue and this VAT tax, like they were, you know, they're taking home maybe half of even just the merch. So, you know, it's just tough, man. It's tough for all bands to tour now. It's like if you don't sell merch, you know, you can't tour and the buses and all that stuff. So hopefully, you know, a band like Metallica, who, you know, obviously worship Motorhead and those guys, maybe Metallica, you know, brings them out and does some shows here in the States with them. That'd be great.
Metal Mayhem ROC.
I'm Metalhead.
Metal Mayhem ROC is the home for metal from the very beginnings.
This is James DeBert from Hellstar. You're listening to Vernomatic.
Dave Overkill from the Cleveland band Destructor. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great.
To longtime headliners.
Hey, this is Red Beach from Whitesnake.
Hey, this is Vinny Appice from Dio, Black Sabbath, and Last in Line.
To music of today.
Hi, this is Olaf Wikstrand from Enforcer.
Hi, this is Brian from Mastodon.
You're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC.
With John the Vernomatic Verno.
Plus, we talk with producers and authors to give you behind-the-scenes info.
Hi, this is William Irwin, author of The Meaning of Metallica, Ride the Lyrics.
Greg Renoff, the author of the book Van Halen Rising, and the Ted Templeman book, A Platinum Producer's Life in Music.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Metal Mayhem ROC,
a proud member of the Pantheon podcast team.
Giving you more to listen for. Join our community, and always remember to keep it heavy.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Don, going back to the album, like some of the subjects you cover that I appreciated on it, of course, there's like the COVID stuff and then, you know, I love the part about like the politically correct names, like the woke generation, a little bit on, you know, friendly poking at Joe Biden. But I kind of had my own moment that I thought of you the other day when you referred to somebody as, quote unquote, assigned man at birth. So my son plays roller hockey and we were down in Aberdeen on Saturday morning and I'm waiting for him to come out from his youth league. And the female roller derby team, the New Jersey, whatever they're called, they're coming out. Now, these women are jacked up like an offensive line on the frickin' Jets. And in comes this person who's about 6'2" with a bulge in the front of their pants and tits. So, assigned man at birth playing on the roller derby team.
Assigned male at birth. That's right. Yeah. And hopefully they don't suck as much as the Jets offensive line. But yeah. Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in. And of course, you know, and I apply that to a bunch of the bands that we love. And I make their names politically correct on the album. You know, I make Thin Lizzy politically correct and Black Sabbath politically correct and go down the list there. But, you know, because it's like, you know, to put it into our world, you know, I think is a funny twist on that whole thing because, you know, I can't even keep up with the language anymore. That's why I like talking to guys like you, man. We just talk like we've always talked, you know.
I like how you called it faith in rock and roll is let's say the chapter, but like how you say it's not fun. Guns N' Roses, it's Gun Control and Roses, and it's not Black Sabbath, it's person of color Sabbath, and you can't say Thin Lizzy, and you can't listen to Fat Bottom Girls the song anymore, you know, and on and on and on. It was a cool way to kind of end the album.
You know, as I'm listening through the ears of a 56-year-old, you made the joke about, yeah, it was nice 70-degree day in October, Indian summer. Can you really not say Indian summer?
No, you cannot. Of course not. What did I say? You have to say Native American pumpkin spice summer or whatever. You know, listen, forget 10 years ago. How about 10 minutes ago? Like something that 10 minutes ago, we can't, you know, I'm sure somebody will, now it'll be a word that's canceled. But now here's the point of all of it is to make people laugh. And if you can't laugh at yourself, then, you know, you probably shouldn't come to a comedy show. But this, all this material is stuff I've been doing for a couple of years. So I've done it. Everybody I talk about on this album, whether it's young people, old people, LGBTQ, trans, doesn't matter. They've all been to the my shows and they've all heard the material. And I got it all to a point where they all laugh at it, you know, because I'm not up there yelling, get off my lawn. I'm not that old guy yelling. I'm not trying to preach to anybody. I'm just saying, like, I'm just trying to figure this all out. You know, you help me out, you know. I'm not trying to shove anything in anybody's face. I'm just trying to say, like, hey, you know, I'm trying to figure this out. So let's figure it out together.
Yeah, true. Great point. It's exactly the same thing I'm thinking. I'm like, hey, I don't judge. So let's touch on this, the Monsters of Rock cruise. I watched a lot of your videos. I looked into that. That looks awesome. Did you work it or was it half work, half play?
Well, it's work, but yeah. I mean, it's the funnest work you could have. I mean, it's a floating party with rock stars for 5 days. And myself and Jim Florentine and Eddie Trunk host it every year. And it's, you know, it's the Love Boat with STDs. I mean, it's, you know, it's a great time. The USS Mullet of the Sea. You know, it's cool because the artists are very, you know, they're very friendly with all, you know, the part of the appeal for people who buy cabins on there and take the cruise is that, you know, you're going to interact with people in all the bands. There's a few people who keep to themselves a little bit more, but for the most part, like, you know, you might sit down for breakfast with Queensryche, you know, or you might, you know, hang out at the book, you know, at the pub at the end of the night with, you know, with Steve Harris or even an Eddie Trunk. I mean, even big stars like that hang out. That's the appeal.
Or Don Jameson.
Or Don, even a Don Jameson. You buy me a Miller Lite, you know, I'll hang out with you all day. But it's a cool time. There's stuff going on from 10 in the morning till 2 in the morning. So that, you know, you're always running from one thing to the next. And it makes a couple stops, you know, the Bahamas and Cozumel, Mexico, and get off the boat and party. And so, it's a job, but the greatest one you could have.
There was a nice lineup this year. Y&T, Accept, I think, was Saxon on there?
No, KK Priest was on.
KK's. And some bands that maybe you wouldn't go see them if they weren't on there, but because it is on there. So it's worth going?
It really is, because then you have other stuff like, you know, I'm always one of the judges of the So You Think You Can Shred contests, where cruisers bring their guitar on the boat and they get up and, you know, they're given time to shred, and Kip Winger hosts it. And then, like, this year it was me, Nuno Betancourt, Joe Satriani, Joel Hoekstra, Michael Wilton, like all Courtney from Burning Witches, all judging these cruisers. And, you know, I don't play guitar, but if I had to get up in front of friggin' Joe Satriani and Nuno and you know, Richie Kotzen, I wouldn't, you know, I would just, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm not even going to plug in. It's, you know, it's not even worth it. So I give them credit, you know, they get up there and they do their thing, but some of them take a beating. So that's a lot of fun and people love that. And then we've been doing this thing called Punchlines and Backlines, which is myself, Jim Florentine, and my friend Courtney Cronin, who's a comic from L.A., where we get a musician to do stand-up for the first time. And Courtney and I work with them and help them put together an act. And So we've been doing that on the cruise for like the last 3 years. And that's super fun. You know, Kip Winger did it. Rhett Beach did it. Todd Latore from Queensryche did it. Jeff Scott Soto did it this year. So it's really fun. And the guys all do really well, you know, because everybody's, you know, rooting for them.
I saw a video, Rhett Beach singing. Was he doing karaoke? And he sang some ballad or something?
Yeah, well, that's the other big part of the cruise is at about midnight, they start the karaoke up in the very top of the ship. And you never know who's going to come in and sing. And a lot of times the artists do come in and sing. I'll never forget, I think one of the first cruises I went on, I got off the elevator and they're in the middle of karaoke. And I go, God, this guy sounds exactly like Jeff Tate. And I walk in and it's Jeff Tate doing karaoke. So, you know, you never know. I think the last night was Reb got up and then it was Nuno, Richie, Kotzen, and Glenn Hughes all got up and did a song together. So, you know, that's worth the price of admission alone. Come on.
Listen, I can't imagine, like, when the hell do people sleep? Or is it like a 3-hour pocket from 2 to 7 and then you go to the breakfast? And Don's like, I'm imagining this too. Like, what's the code of conduct? Like, Steve Harris is down having eggs at 7 in the morning. Do you have people that are like, hi, Mr. Harris, can I have a photo? Or then do you have guys that go over and be like, hey, Steve, like, oh, you're fucking best bass player ever. And like, kind of, you know, drool all over the guy.
Yeah. You get those two extremes and then everything in the middle, right? So, you know, the first night of the cruise, Steve Harris came down and hung out in the pub for a few hours. So, you know, he's not shy about getting out, which means he knows, you know, he's going to have some encounters. But honestly, man, 98% of the people on that cruise are super respectful. They sort of find an opening and they take it. But if you're hanging in a pub and people are drinking, some people get a little excited and start going, Steve Harris, you roll, you know. But it's all good.
Rolling his eyes like, oh. Like, why am I do this?
Or go the other way. This guy's too boozy. Start saying, dude, what's with the 5-minute intros of every song on Tsujutsu? Can't you do a 4-minute song anymore? You know, just being a dick. But you're right. You know, come on. Pick your spot. Read the room. Understand it. You know, that's cool. So, hey, Walt, maybe next year we'll look at the lineup. It's only like, I think 5K would cover it.
Well, listen, I think Metal Mayhem ROC, we should be able to do something from the ship.
That's another angle to take on that. So, yeah, keep that in mind. But I don't think it's anywhere near $5,000. But, you know, I've seen the prices of regular cruises. I don't know exactly how much the Monsters of Rock cruise is, but give or take $500-$750 or whatever, and you get all that stuff I just talked about. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
That again, the price of admission alone is worth it to see artists up there drunkenly singing karaoke.
And Don, it's talking about the cruise. Like, again, one of the things you talk about on the album is, like, there was a performance once where you were actually doing comedy and up comes this pink princess cruise boat. Like, tell a little bit about that story because it's really funny.
Well, I know. I don't want to give away the bit.
Okay.
But it, now that I'm thinking about it, the Disney princess has become a through line of my life, you know, sleeping in the princess bed with the princess pillow at Tim Owens' house. And then, yeah, performing on the pool stage on the Monsters of Rock cruise when we're docked in Nassau, Bahamas, and not realizing that the Disney princess is docked 10 feet away. And I'm up there like, you know, Andrew Don Clay, like cursing and screaming my head off. And everybody's laughing because they're looking over and they're just seeing like these parents like freaking out because they could hear every word I was saying on their ship. And it definitely wasn't appropriate for, you know, an 11-year-old dressed as Mulan. Let's put it that way.
Unless you guys in karaoke, you broke out a killer version of It's a Small World after all.
Right. Well, the karaoke's inside, so I think I haven't performed on the pool stage since that, but since that happened. But yeah, sometimes things get tricky in port. You know, one of the cruises a couple years ago, we were in San Diego, and John 5 was playing on the pool stage, and the cops came on the boat and made them shut it down because there was a bunch of apartment buildings around the port who were complaining about the noise, which was, you know, so friggin' metal. So I loved that. But it was great because then John and his band just broke their stuff down and their crew, and they took it downstairs to another venue and a smaller venue and just set it up, and they picked up right where they left off like 30 minutes later. And it was so cool.
That's like a Spinal Tap moment right there.
I just saw John about a month ago up here in Rochester, and it was weird. He didn't have a bass player. It was just it was just him and the drummer. But on certain songs, the guitar tech would come out and play bass. I just didn't understand, but he was good. It was enjoyable. It was cool. That Rocks and That Jameson show. Back in production every couple weeks on That Rocks. What do you got going on with those two shows?
Well, That Jameson show just ended at 235 episodes. And I just started to add the interviews from all those shows up on my YouTube page, which is just YouTube/Don Jameson. I uploaded I interviewed John Densmore from The Doors. I think that interview is up. I'm going to put the Halford one up. I'm moving on to do a different concept with a co-host you guys will definitely know, which I'll talk to you guys about when I'm allowed to announce it. But the thing that Rocks, also on YouTube, which is myself, Eddie Trunk, Jim Florentine.
Yeah.
We have about 25 episodes up there. We filmed like 6 interviews on the Monsters of Rock cruise. So we just put one up, I think, a couple of weeks ago. We went live and rolled it in. Mark Tornillo from Accept, who were one of the big hits on the boat. They were absolutely incredible. So we got that coming up. We got a bunch more. Glenn Hughes coming back on the show. Joey and John from Armored Saint. Jason McMaster. So... we're definitely gonna have a lot of episodes coming out this summer. So that's YouTube at That Rocks.
Cool. They're all great people because, you know, we're all friends with them too, and look forward to that.
Yeah, man. Let's, you know, doing that metal show for 14 seasons was a great, great honor. You know, no matter whether there's, you know, millions of viewers around the world or a handful, I'm still going to always have some kind of platform where I can help these bands that I love so much out. And as well as doing, obviously, my stand-up. But, you know, my foot's firmly in the rock world. You know, you guys are doing it, man. We all do this together. We all elevate, you know, our genre. And that's super important because this is our kind of music ebbs and flows a lot. So, the more we support it, the more we keep it out there, you know, the more we raise our kids.
You touched on a subject a little earlier, and I just want to get a little more of your opinion about this touring landscape. Like a band like Raven, they're coming to town in a few weeks and I'm following the tour. Good friend of mine went and saw him in Arizona and said there's like 40 people there. Yeah. How do they keep going around? And I understand both John and Mark have other financial involvements and, you know, that's probably paying the bills. But what keeps them coming back? I know they have a new album and it's the tour cycle. But what's your take on this touring situation?
Well, I mean, you saw even with John 5, you know, John 5 always had a trio and he cut it down to a duo now, you know. You're trying to save money everywhere you can. You're trying to figure a way to tour where you can actually go home with some money, you know, not break even. That's, you know, Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons can't come here and make money. Unfortunately, that's why I had to go to England. And, the tour I was on was Black Star Riders, Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, and Michael Monroe. That, to me, that's like a dream lineup. But that wouldn't, you get 100 people in a club to see that in America, which sucks, you know? So I'm so glad I got to see that show, you know, a dozen times. So, you know, it's America's sometimes a tough market to crack. And if you can't make it, a lot of bands go, look, I know we're going to lose money, but it's just a matter of how much are we going to lose on this tour? So, a band like Raven, you know, hopefully, you know, if there was 40 there one night, you know, maybe hopefully the next night there was a few hundred for them. You know, I guess sometimes, you know, they got an older fan base. You know, if they play on a Tuesday somewhere, they're going to have less people because their fans are older like us and everybody gets up and goes to work. On Fridays and Saturdays, they probably make their money, right? But it is. It's a tough go for anybody, even if you're kind of an established band. But, I always say, I'm lucky I get to go see shows pretty much all the time for free. But I always go right to the merch booth, buy something the minute I walk in the door, because at least I know that money goes directly to them. And that's how 95% of them are making any money, is by selling merchandise. So, if I could give advice to anybody, if you go see your favorite band, if you have a couple extra bucks, I know a lot of people don't these days, but if you do, buy a pin, buy a sticker, buy something if you can.
That's funny you say that, because at the KK show, I went to the merch after one of them, and I was talking to Ace Von Johnson, and you know, whatever, I wanted to buy something, and I'm like, you got any patches or stickers? And as it turns out, the guy from Odin was there, Duncan. I forget his first name. So I go, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm selling merch. So there I am. So I bought his stuff. And it was weird. It was weird. But yeah, you always got to buy something, just support. And, you know, not for anything. Like you said, we're doing our share by getting the word out there. And, you know, besides the interview, you know, we do the blogs. This is going to be on our YouTube. I'll soundbite this out and put it on our radio show on Monday nights. You know, it's a three-headed promotional, what we're doing here. And you know what? We make a little money, but it's for the love of it. If you could get some free tickets and talk to dudes, then it's all good.
You just said it all, man. It's the love of it. So you want to know why we're going to place for 40 people? It's for the love of it, you know? And if you don't still have that passion, there's no sense to do it. You know, if stand-up still wasn't fun for me, I definitely would not do it. You know, there's other things I could do. I'm not sure what they are, but there must be something else I could do. But if you don't love it, if you're not committed to it, there's no sense to do it. We all got to make a living. You know, you everyone's got bills.
You're still excited to do it. You still get excited about going on the road. As much as it sucks traveling, don't want to sound cliche, but it's worth that buzz when you get introduced and you walk out there and you make friends for that 50 minutes that you're on stage. That's what it's all about.
Exactly. So when people start to pre-order my new album, No Sleep Till McSorley's, then I could just sit back and count the millions that will start coming in from all the pre-orders of the album. And I'll have physical copies at all my live gigs. So if you want a CD or later in the summer vinyl, I will have those available as well.
So we got a shitload of shows coming up by us. How do you fit them all in? Like, is there like ever a scenario where Don says, you know what, I'm not booking any shows on the weekend of August 6th because I'm going to see 5 shows in a row at PNC and I'm not working that weekend?
Yeah, I've had some of those weekends for sure. But no, I don't like to turn stuff down, especially since COVID too. You know, like I was like, we may never work again. So that was really scary to think maybe I don't have a career after this. Are we ever going to be able to get together in a public space again? So, you know, I rarely say no. I mean, you know, I think I say on the album, you know, you offer me a 6-pack and a hand job, I'll play your backyard barbecue.
You do. There's a visual I'll never forget. So one more time on the website, where can people find info on you?
Just on all my social media, Don Jameson Official on Instagram, Facebook, Real Don Jameson on X, YouTube Don Jameson, I post all my gig dates up there and stuff. Not the backyard gigs. I mean, you know, but the legit gigs are all up there. And like we said, Cuyahoga Falls, the Funny Stop this Friday and Saturday. And yeah, just continuing on, man. Appreciate the support, you guys.
Thank you. Walt, any parting shots before we let him go?
No, but Don, I know I'm going to see you at one of these. There's like the spring and summer in Jersey and New York, man. It's like there's two shows a week, it looks like. So we got plenty of stuff coming up. Brees, Queensryche, Raven, The Shed, Sammy Hagar, Deep Purple Yes was announced today. Tons of shit.
Yeah, I'll definitely be at the Sammy one. There's a few of those other ones you mentioned I'll be at. So we will hang. And then, John, I'll see you hopefully in July when I come up your way. You guys are awesome supporters of the scene, man. So thank you for doing that. Like I said, all of us working together, you know, it makes a huge difference, man. I talk to artists all the time. They're all grateful.
Cool. All right. Well, listeners, remember, do us a favor. Get up to our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Stay in touch on our Thursday night podcast, Friday night free-for-all video, the Monday night radio show I do on Metal Devastation Radio, and CD reviews, everything else we do. For my co-host Metal Walt and our guest Don Jameson, I'm the Vernomatic, and this is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Metal for life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.